So good morning.
Good morning.
This is fun. It's a very small group. So we're talking this week, kind of continuing what we talked about last week, this idea of technology and how to live with technology. And I was thinking, I was reflecting on this, you know, it's fortunate for us because of all the things that Jesus taught us about, the thing he taught us about the most was technology. Just story after story, parable after parable about how to use your iPhone correctly and for the good of the kingdom. No, there's really nothing, right? There's nothing to give us guidance in this way. And as Keith and I have been talking about this series over the last few weeks, and how do we do this in a way that's real, that's practical, because it is one of those subjects that the Bible really doesn't teach us specifically about technology. And so we want something that's biblically focused, that helps us understand how do we live better lives as followers of Jesus and do so with these modern tools that we have, this technology. And as I was thinking this week about it, I realized, you know, this is not a new question. This is not a new issue, that every generation has had new technology or new things that they've had to deal with. One of the things that struck me as I was thinking about Jesus and his approach to technology, and maybe how the church always, people who follow Jesus maybe have a tendency, like I do right now, I feel like, man, we'd all be better off if we just didn't have this technology. It'd be easier to focus on Jesus and follow him. But think about the fact that, like, when Jesus was teaching and the earliest Christians were following him, they didn't even have the technology of printed books, right? Like, for 1,500 years, right? So the idea that if you wanted to hear scripture in Jesus' day or any time after that, you had to gather in community because you didn't have a book in your own house because it was too expensive. So you had to gather in community, and the priest or the minister or the rabbi had to read the scripture to you, right? So when this new technology came out of being able to read your own Bible or read your own book, right, that changed the way people followed Jesus in good ways, because now everybody had the word, had the scripture for themselves. But it also had an adverse effect sometimes too, right? Because the new technology of the printed book meant that you didn't have to gather in community anymore to hear God's word. You could do it by yourself, off on your own. And we know that silence and solitude is good sometimes too, but we also know that community is important. So this idea that, oh, technology changes things, yeah, that's true, but it doesn't change the fundamental things about how we live our lives as followers of Jesus. Another big technology that had an impact is television, right? When television happened, that changed the way we lived our lives. It changed the way we got information. And it actually changed for a lot of people. If you think about Christian faith and television and you put those two things together, it might have a pretty negative connotation if you were around for the big televangelist movement sort of in the, what is it, started maybe in the 60s, 70s into the 80s, right? Television could be used for good, but it could also be used for kind of negative, gross, icky, asking for money, all the stuff that we associate with that, right? So as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the pastor of the church that I pretty much grew up in. I started going there in the eighth grade. It's where I really started getting serious about my faith. I was baptized in that church. And it was a big church in San Antonio, Texas, and the pastor's name was Buckner Fanning. And Buckner was a fabulous guy and really dynamic speaker, engaging preacher. He actually was an evangelist. So he was kind of coming up as an evangelist in the circuit kind of when Billy Graham was really coming up. And so he did revivals and did this sort of stuff. And the story of this church in San Antonio was that they were in between pastors, and they had this kind of revival, as Baptist churches sometimes do, and Buckner was one of the people who came through, and he spent a few days there and preached, and people just loved him, and they asked, please, 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 will you stay and be our pastor? And he said, well, I don't know. And then he prayed about it and thought about it, and he said, okay, yeah, I will. I feel like God is calling me here. And he was at that church for 40 years, built an amazing ministry, and it was really, really cool. But one of the cool things that he did is he, and actually this happened because his son got really interested in television and media production, and so collaborating with his dad, they created this television ministry. But it wasn't like what you would think. It wasn't like, you know, televangelists and preaching on TV. They were little 30-second TV spots. And I'm going to show you one so you get the idea of kind of what it was like. And this is an example of maybe a way to use technology in a positive way. So This is from the 80s, so that's it looks like it's from the 80s.
This magnificent tree was nearly destroyed by a storm, but I wish you'd look at it. It's coming back. It has new life and vitality. I'm Buckner Fanning, and I know people like this, people whose lives have nearly been destroyed by a storm, not of their own making or creating, but it came down upon them, but they're coming back. Because, you see, God is always the God of a second chance and of a new beginning. And what I see happening in this tree, I see happening in people's lives. Let God's life be alive in you.
Now, I will say that that's the entirety of the 30-second spot. It was changed, actually, later because BucknerFanning.org is a foundation that happened later. What would happen at the end of the commercial, it would just have a little graphic that would say Trinity Baptist Church, and that was it. Right? It wasn't really an advertisement for the church, come to our church. It wasn't really asking for anything. It was just saying, hey, here's a hopeful message. Here's something about God's kingdom that could impact you. And these commercials, these spots aired on regular television in San Antonio year after year after year after year to the point where people in the city pretty much considered Buckner to be the city's pastor. Like, he was known all over the city because of these kind of things. So using technology in this way, we don't have to say, ooh, that's bad, it's terrible, television's awful, we shouldn't ever, you know, mix this new technology with our faith. We can use it in positive ways. So today, as I'm thinking about what I wanted to talk with you guys about, I want to really build on what Keith talked about last week. If you weren't here, you can go back and listen online. It was really, really great. And he mentioned that technology is a tool. He talked about using technology or technology being a tool. And there are three things that he kind of talked about, and I want to emphasize those a little bit more today and go into a little bit more detail. And these three things are, number one, that tools have a purpose. We're talking about technology. So if your technology, your phone, your iPad, your computer, if your technology is a tool, which it is, right? It's a tool for productivity. It's a tool for communication. It's a tool for all kinds of things. It's important to remember that tools always have a purpose. A shovel has a purpose. It's designed to do a specific task. Sometimes tools are designed for good things, and sometimes tools are designed for destructive things or negative things, right? There are tools that are designed to help people and to build life and to heal, and there are tools that are designed to destroy, tools that are designed to kill. What's fascinating about this is that sometimes tools that are designed for good can be used for negative things. Right? And we all know this. And this is actually the category that we're talking about with your phone. Your phone is a helpful, good, productive tool. It was meant to be something good. But then it starts stealing time away from your relationships. Then it starts monopolizing your thought process. Then it starts making you feel like you're unable to do more negative and destructive things with it, right, on social media or whatever. So good things gone bad. But what's fascinating, too, is that there are technologies that were designed for, let's say, bad, destructive purposes that can eventually be used for good. We have so many advanced technologies that were designed in wartime because we were trying to kill as many of our enemies as possible, right? One that I always think about, which is fascinating, is GPS. GPS made it super efficient to locate your troops and figure out how to zero in on the enemy and kill them. And this global positioning system with the satellite and all that was a military technology. And you all probably used it sometime in the last couple of days to get where you needed to go on time, right? To find the Starbucks that you needed to find, right? So GPS is a tool that was designed for one purpose, but we've turned it into something good. So all tools have a purpose. And I think it's important for us to remember that the tools that we have in our pocket or anywhere else, they were designed for a purpose. And we need to remember, is that a good purpose, not a good purpose? Am I using something designed for good for something else? That's really important for us to consider. Another thing that's important for us to consider about the tools that we have with us is that tools change the user. I love what Keith said last week about this with the shovel, if you remember this analogy, right? The shovel, when you use it, it changes you. You get to calluses on your hands, which can help you work more efficiently. You can work longer and harder without hurting as much, but you also lose sensitivity, right? So they change you as a person. And it's important that you understand that no tool is going to be have a zero-sum effect on you as a person. When you use a phone to interact with other people, it changes who you are, who you think, and how you interact, and those kinds of things. So tools always change the user. We're going to talk in a minute about what Scripture has to say about these things, so keep these in mind, right? So a tool has a purpose, and tools always change the user. And then the third thing that Keith said last week is that tools are not morally neutral. And I think this is a really key point too, that let's go back to the shovel idea, that when I have a shovel, if I want to start to farm the earth, the minute I stick that shovel into the earth, that's not a morally neutral event. I am changing the habitat of living organisms when I put that shovel in the soil. I am perhaps changing the way that water flows and runs, right? So those have an impact. I'm not saying they're immoral. I'm saying it's not morally neutral. You have to consider the implications of your use of the tool on everybody and everything that it impacts. So no tool is morally neutral. So when you pull that phone out of your pocket, you're thinking to yourself, okay, who is this impacting and how? What is this changing and what are the ripple effects of this idea? So if tools have a purpose, then we need to make sure that we are using those tools for a good purpose. And again, this is not scripture about technology. This is scripture about just good living. How do we live in such a way that we understand the purpose of our actions and our communications? So next time you pull out your phone and you're thinking about what you're going to type, what you're going to tweet, what you're going to send in a text, remember that Paul says in Ephesians, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul wasn't thinking about your cell phone when he wrote that, but he was thinking about how human beings interact with one another and talk with one another. And throughout the centuries, people have always had the ability to use their words to destroy, to use their words to impact others in a negative way. And so the teaching here that he is saying is, don't let that happen. Only use words that build people up. And that even includes when you're not specifically talking to someone, but maybe you're just posting on your wall. I like to use air quotes, right? You're doing this, right? Okay, so posting on your wall, and it's just a statement that you're making. Are those unwholesome words? Are those words? Is that good? Yeah, okay, so I'll give it up with the air quotes. But the idea is, yeah, think about this. Is this unwholesome talk? Is this building others up? Or is it tearing them down? And that word for building others up is actually a construction word. It literally means to like build something good, like to create something, right? So think about that. Tools have a purpose. Your technology has a purpose that it was designed for. And ask yourself, am I using this to build others up, to create community, to create relationships and strengthen those things, okay? So tools have a purpose. That was the first thing I said. Little audience feedback here. What was the second thing I said? Tools what? Tools change the user. Right. So if tools change the user, then we need to figure out how to make sure that we guard ourselves from being changed in negative ways. Right? We want to be changed by the things that go on, by our friends and our family and our community, and be shaped and sent by Jesus. But we don't want to be formed in negative ways by the tools that we use. So what do? We guard our hearts and our minds. And the scripture that comes to mind for me about guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus is this one. In Philippians 4, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we talk about this verse, we often focus on the peace part. Like, oh, how do we have peace? How do we find peace? And I think that's important. But I also think it's important to think about the guard your hearts and minds part. Why is Paul saying that? He's saying that because in the chapter previous to this, he's talking about all the ways in which people can go wrong and they can have bad behaviors that lead them down destructive paths. But you are not like that. You were not designed like that. You remember that you can live like Jesus. And so don't be anxious about anything. Right? Don't be anxious about those things. Pray to God, present your requests to Him, and He will guard your hearts and your minds. So if tools change the user, if the tools are going to change who you are as a person, then you need to guard your hearts and your minds by being prayerful about your use of that tool. Praying and offering that to God and not being anxious about it. I'm really anxious about my technology use. I'm trying really hard to like, you know, it's one of the new shaming, self-shaming things that's going on in my life. I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't be using my phone. And, I've shared with you over the last couple of weeks that I've actually made some changes on my phone. And this morning, because it's Sunday morning, I got the notification from my iPhone that said, congratulations, you're down another 47% so of my phone use. So I've gone from over 2 hours a day down to just about an hour a day on my phone. And that even includes using my maps to navigate from place to place. So I'm pretty proud of myself. But there's like all this anxiety, right? There's like, I'm so anxious about this. But this is like, don't be anxious. Just pray, just give it to God, and He will guard your hearts and your minds to make sure that you are not being changed in ways that are negative being shaped. And Keith talked last week about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think in a different way. We talked about in Romans, okay? All right, so tools have a purpose. So we want to make sure that we are using good words, wholesome words, building others up. Tools change the user, so we want to make sure that we are guarding our hearts and our minds. And then the third thing was tools are not morally neutral. Right, tools are not morally neutral. So what do we do here? In Colossians, Paul says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And here's the important part that I want to focus on right now. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I talked about this verse a couple of weeks ago in the life seminar that I led on developing your own rule of life. The idea of doing everything in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Well, we don't often talk in this way anymore, but if you can imagine sort of, you know, several hundred years ago, people might say things like, "In the name of King George of England, I hereby decree that this is the way you shall," right? I mean, you would say, "In the name of so-and-so, I have this action or I will do this thing." And what that means is, in the name of this person, it means with their authority and with their permission, but as them, acting as them, in their character and in their stead, I am doing these things or saying these things. So when we are being instructed by Paul to do everything in the name of Jesus, it doesn't mean that in the name of Jesus I eat my breakfast, in the name of Jesus I go to my car, in the name of Jesus I will drive to work. It means everything you do is done in the character of Jesus. Everything you do is done to be a reflection of him, to be an ambassador. I love that you were talking about that. Being an ambassador means being a representative of someone else. And so that's what this is about. So whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. So our tools are not morally neutral, right? Our phones and our iPads and our devices are not morally neutral. So what we need to remember is that we need to do everything that we do, whether it's with our technology or not, as if Jesus were doing it. We need to do it in a way that honors who Jesus is and what he is about. So again, this is not necessarily new stuff. It's not like, hey, the latest new Christian life hack with your iPhone, how to be a good Jesus follower, you know, iChristian or whatever. It's not that. It's just good living, folks. It's just being a follower of Jesus and incorporating the tools that we happen to have in the 21st century. So I want to finish up with this idea that Paul, even though we joke about the Bible not really being about technology, Paul sort of talks about using whatever is at his disposal. He talks about using anything within his means to achieve his goals, ultimately, which are the goals of Jesus. And he does this in this way. And I've kind of changed the formatting to help you see that he's making several different points here, right? Paul says that even though I'm free, I've made myself a slave to win as many as possible. Even though to the Jews I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law so as to win those not having the law. I cut out some little things. He interjects in there little more details about the law and what that means, but you can go back and read it. I'm not trying to edit scripture. I'm just to get to the point. And then the last one, to the weak, I become weak to win the weak, right? So the point is he's saying, look, I become like these people to win those people. I become like those people to win those people. I become like those people to win those people. And he's not doing it in a way that's compromising his obedience to Jesus. He's doing it in faithful ways that help him to spread the gospel, right? And he finishes in 1 Corinthians with this. After saying all those things, he says, "I have become all things to all people so that," here's the important part, "by all possible means, I might save some." By all possible means, I might save some. "I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings." So for the sake of the gospel, as much as we talk and wrestle with our use of technology, one of the things that I have very seldom asked is, How am I using my phone for the sake of the gospel? It's just a silly question, right? I mean, I don't know. How am I using my car for the sake of the gospel? Well, it's possible. I remember one time when I was a youth pastor. I had a mom of some of the kids in the youth group who shared with me that she felt really strongly that her minivan was a blessing from God. She couldn't afford it, but somehow she was able to make it happen, and she believed that God had blessed her with that, and so it was her ministry to drive anybody anywhere who needed it, anytime. Kids in the youth group, anybody. And that was, for her, that was using the tool that she had been given by God to for the gospel. Well, we've been given these amazing tools of technology for communication and for all kinds of things. How do we use that for the sake of the gospel? Let's remember what the gospel is, right? Paul talks a lot about the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. I do these things for the gospel. Don't forget the gospel that I preach to you. The gospel is simply this, the good news. What's the good news? The good news is that because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done, you and I are free from the law, free from judgment, free from condemnation, and free to live our true vocation. The vocation that God gave to human beings at the beginning of this whole story, which was to be his image bearers in the world, to carry forth his image, to be his ambassadors, to represent God to the world by bringing his kingdom into being, by making it a better place, by reconciling lives to one another, by reconciling people to God. Does that sound familiar? Reconciling people to Jesus, to one another, and to God's redemptive work in the world. We do that a lot around here. That's the gospel. We're free to do that. We don't have to worry about judgment and condemnation anymore. We don't have to worry about all the things that stumble us and get in our way. Paul makes that clear. If you read through Romans and Galatians, like the whole thing is just about, look, if we're still worrying about the law, then Christ died for nothing. The gospel, the good news is, hey, we're free to do this. We're free to do this good work. So that's the idea. Your technology is a tool, and it needs to be used to do good work. Right? It's got a purpose. Make that purpose a good one. Okay? It changes the user. Make sure that you don't get changed in negative ways. And it's not morally neutral, so make sure that you are really using it for the gospel message, for the kingdom work. And the good news in all this for me, as I thought about this and prayed about this, sort of the culminating thought that I remembered was, you know, silly me, this is not a surprise to God. God's not thinking, man, if only they hadn't invented those smartphones, they could be such better witnesses for me, right? No, it's not a surprise to God. God knew this tool was coming. He knew Steve Jobs was going to invent the iPhone, even though Steve Jobs might not have believed that, but it's true. So it's not a surprise to God. So God is okay with this. God is up there saying, use whatever tools are at your disposal. Do all things to all, be all things to all people, so that by all possible means you might save some, and do it for the gospel. So that's my summation of the idea of technology. Again, I searched scriptures all through. I couldn't really find anything about technology. But to me, it's about good living. It's about smart living. It's about using the tools at your disposal and remembering that everything you do is for the sake of the gospel. So let's pray together and close. Jesus, we thank you so much for your words. We thank you for your amazing act of salvation, death, burial, and resurrection that gives us the freedom to not worry about judgment and condemnation and all the things that get in our way. You give us the freedom to live out the gospel, to live out your purpose. We thank you for allowing us the privilege to do that. Jesus, my prayer this morning is for all of us, myself included, that we remember that these devices that interrupt our lives so often, that sometimes make our lives more complicated, also can make our lives so much more connected. They also can be tools that we can use to be ambassadors for you, to be messengers, witnesses for you, to spread your gospel. Thank you for that. And just help us to remember that as we go forward. And thanks for this really cool snow day where we have a small community together, remembering that we are connected in so many ways. Just thank you for LifePath. We pray that you would continue to bless this community of faith and guide us and help us to share your love with our community here at Aspira, here in Newark in Northern Delaware. We ask all this in your name.